A lot of cities in the United States have been named after cities in Europe. Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension are tied to Jerusalem. So this city on earth reflects in another in space. There isn't much benefit reading the last book of the Bible until you have read the preceding books. The Revelation has 815 references to other parts of the Word. Matthew has 93. The book of Hebrews, 105. The figurative language of Revelation may be defined from the use of the same symbol found elsewhere in the Bible. The fullest portrait of Jesus Christ is found in this book. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That is the man who loves you. The things which take place after the millennium are described from verse 1 of chapter 21 to the close of the book. The book is majestic. There are 50 series of sevens within the 22 chapters. The address is to the victor, the overcomer. It is redemption completed. Corinthians deals with Christian conduct. Galatians is a vindication of the grace of God. Ephesians is directed to the faithful in Christ. Colossians is a correction of two forms of error that had crept into the congregation. Philippians is the book of Christian experience. Thessalonians establishes young converts, teaches holiness, and comforts those whose loved ones have died. Everything preceding in the New Testament finds meaning and fulfillment in the Revelation. The person who addresses himself or herself to the city, the overcomer, the victor, is pledged privileges that money cannot buy or earth duplicate. First, there is permission to eat of the tree of life. It is in the midst of the paradise of God. Eden will be fulfilled. Paradise will be regained. The state of death will vanish, and sin will be liquidated. Second, there is eternal protection from the hurt of the second death. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. That is the choice. It's the biggest ever offered. I could not choose this life on earth. I wasn't asked whether I wished to be born or not, but I do have a choice for eternity. I am asked whether or not I wish to die eternally. Third, there is access to the hidden manna. This is the perfect food of the universe. It is the long search of dietitians, processors, agriculturalists, research and botanists. There have been centuries of formulas and arguments. Manna is the ultimate. It always satisfies. Manna was what you had faith for it to be. That is why it is a picture of the Word. The hidden manna was the portion that was placed in the golden pot within the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was overladen with pure gold. There was a strength to preserve there, unknown elsewhere. When an Israeli tried to keep it after sundown, it bred worms. The victor in joy is a strength that nothing on earth can match, a might in the inner man. And then there is the white stone and a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. The white stone which we cherish is the diamond. Each tribe of Israel had an ensign. Each ensign was engraved on a stone, and these stones formed the high priest's breastplate. Judah engraved a lion. Ephraim engraved an ox. Reuben engraved a face of a man. Dan engraved an eagle. The entire camp marched under these banners, and they all speak of Jesus. And like a diamond, our Lord is a many-splendored leader. The diamond pattern is evident everywhere in the Word. There are four Gospels. They reveal Christ as man, as God, as servant, as king. Every detail of every figure, every symbol leads to Jesus. He is the fulfillment of my being, the reason for my existence. It is true, his banner over me is love. I am truly engaged to him. I have his promise. And thank God he has mine. And the consummation will provide the new name. The Christian life is romance, and it is meant to be. Next, there is power over the nations. Christ will share his authority as he shares his victory. We will throw away the cloak of disguise. We that have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And here is the same passage in a very literal translation. Though we possess the Spirit as a pledge and foretaste of the glorious future, yet we inwardly sigh as we wait and long for open recognition as the sons of God by deliverance of our body. It will be the great bar mitzvah of the ages when our Father publicly recognizes us as equals and grants us the privileges stated with such recognition. I will be clothed upon for such an event. I am born again to government and administration, executive action that is incorruptible and totally effective. And the victor will be introduced all over heaven. I will give him the morning star. Yes, sir. When you make it in, you will meet Jesus Christ of Nazareth personally. That is a promise. And the thoroughfares are gold. The water is life, clear as crystal proceeding out of the throne. Fruit and foliage are for pleasure and peace. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. The air is celestial. It has never known a touch of pollution. This is immortality, where there is no tomorrow. Imagine feeling the touch of a lovely hand and discovering it to be the nail-pierced hand of the Son of God. There'll be a cheer which I hope to lend my resurrection voice toward. Salvation be unto God and the Lamb forever. I'll never forget I'm saved. I'll never cease to be thankful I'm saved. There are further benefits. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from my God out of heaven. I will write unto him my new name. That will be the end of fear and disruption. We won't be Americans, French, Greeks, Japanese, Norwegians there. We'll be the sons of God, common citizens of a new state. Our city will be the city of righteousness and peace, a description that cannot describe any city man has built on earth. There'll be no police, no detention institutions, no fines, no paroles, no warnings, no off-limits, no segregation, no zones. That is my forwarding address by the grace of God. And finally, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is a joint heir. That is full inheritance. That is complete privilege. It is breathtaking. The victor will have everything Jesus has. This world system cannot equal it. And there's an extra bonus thrown in for good measure. You find it in the 21st chapter. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be given the credit card of the ages with unlimited privileges. It's all there, mister, for a few short years of testimony to Jesus on this side of the grave. Now, this isn't new. Abraham knew there was such a place. He and I are headed in the same direction. Paul said, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one. He knew about it. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. It will be the accomplishment of accomplishments. No pain, no sorrow, no separation, no crying. No more curse will ever be experienced. The former things are passed away, and it's big. The length, breadth, and height are equal. 12,000 furlongs, 1,500 miles each way. If you were to divide it into streets, placing each street 1 mile apart, you would have 8 million streets, 1,500 miles in length. And if you were to divide it into building lots, 40 square yards per lot, you would have enough property to accommodate all the people who have ever lived. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory into it, and nothing shall enter that defileth or worketh abomination or maketh a lie. It makes the biggest cities on earth seem like country hamlets. The streets are transparent, without rubbish or litter of any kind. They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. The temperature is an eternal pleasure. Mister, there is nothing better than God's arrangements. Man has done his best and falls short of the glory of God. We will never lack for company. We will gather with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of our God. And there will be testimony. Daniel has one. I want to hear that statesman tell it, how the corrupt politicians threw him to the lions. I want to know how the Messiah, Isaiah knew so well, kept that prophet from pain when his enemies placed him in a hollow log and severed the log with the preacher inside. And I'll listen as Paul tells us how he was stoned while he kept the corner of one eye open. And when the mob left, he leaped to his feet and walked to the next town and preached Jesus as though nothing had happened. Oh, yes, there will be eternal excitement. And then time will allow the complete biographies of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, quenched the violence of fire, stopped the mouths of lions, and the weak was made strong, waxed valiant in fight, put to flight the armies of the aliens, men received their dead raised to life again. I want to be in the company of victors, not losers. Hell is for losers. And when we're there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. And reservations are being accepted now, and no one will be there without a reservation. God is always ready when we're ready, and I believe thousands of us are ready at this moment to meet with him at the long, long altar. If it's the first time you've come, don't hesitate. You'll never kneel alone. These next 10 seconds will be blessed to you.
There's room at the cross for you.
This is Thomas E. Jones. Knelt at the long, long altar as it passed through Morgantown, West Virginia, and through her home, 390 University Avenue. She was a dying woman. Specialists at the hospital had told her there wasn't a thing they could do for her. Today, she's able to do all her own work, and the same doctors have certified a clean bill of health. She says, I know it was prayer that did it. Brother Ward, I have a sister at Austin, Texas, and you reach her. I haven't seen her in 20 years. I always close my letter to her and say to her, I'll meet you this week at the long, long altar. I feel we're kneeling next to each other. Now that is what we experience in this fellowship. So let's pray fervently as Jesus taught us, one for another. Master, we love thee. Thou art the complete and final revelation of our Heavenly Father. We come for the grieving. We come for the poor, the unemployed, the heartbroken, the lonely, the sinner. So many are now being mentioned by name at this altar. Direct us in holiness. Teach us how to use thy sacraments of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and healing. Bless and sustain marriage in this audience. Thrust forth laborers everywhere. We're tired of human ornaments in the church. Give us workers anointed with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse us from sin and selfishness for the honor of thy name. Amen. Yes, there's power and there's authority among us. You discern it, and I discern it. Now it's that moment when heaven is pleased to write with the finger of God the pleasure of the bigger world toward us, some good gift coming from above. It does happen. It happens all the time. And there is a woman, a well-meaning woman among us, who has a bad habit of snooping. A nice, pleasant word is curiosity. But it goes beyond legitimate curiosity. This woman listens into her daughter's telephone conversations. She peeks into envelopes. She reaches into her husband's pockets. It's a messy habit. It brings so much unpleasantness. Now you will be set free now. This barnacle on your life, lady, will be removed. Your family will marvel at the change in you, so give God the glory. I'm only his messenger. God does this to make you know that the meeting is far more than another religious program. We've all been to the meeting. These are glorious moments when kindred souls meet around the altar and the word. We have no carnal ambition. We don't want to build some starry corporation. We want to tell the millions in churches that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.